Welcome to the audio ministry of Grove Park Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. We pray you will be blessed by today's message.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, was lifted high on the cross so that he might draw the whole world to himself. Grant that we who glory in this death for our salvation, may also glory in his call to take up our cross and follow him. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. We read text so many times that sometimes when we approach the ones that are so very familiar to us, we skim them and we miss some underlying things. That is my fear as I come into this text this evening, that we have such familiarity with it that we miss some things. One of the things that troubles me the most is that we will look on this text and see it for only a recounting of the atoning work of Jesus. We see it as only an atonement narrative and nothing else. There's more here. Secondly, I fear that we would look at this text and see Jesus alone without anyone accompanying him, being by himself as he hangs between heaven and earth. But that too is wrong. Some will call a halt to me and point out something that the other gospel narratives include. Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? As a sign that Jesus is alone, that he cannot even find God there, for God has turned his back on Jesus as the weight of the world's sin is borne by Jesus. But beloved, we cannot have it both ways. We cannot have it both ways. Either Jesus is incarnate God, fully human and fully divine, without separation, or he is not. The presence of the divine God is either there with him, making him fully human and fully divine up to the very end, or it is not. And if it is not, we are all doomed, for then Jesus does not become the second Adam. I have to believe that Jesus is very much still incarnate God as he hangs upon the cross. And I believe that this has profound implications for how we read this text and how we live our lives. For it means that even when we cannot sense God, God is still present with us. We are not abandoned by God, despite the pain that we may have, despite the darkness that seems to overshadow us, God is still there. Despite what we may do or have done or may still do, regardless of whether our sin is great or just confessed, God is still there with us. He does not leave us nor abandon us. He is always close at hand. And because God is always close at hand, we are empowered to do the seemingly impossible. We can make it through the impossible stretches of our life because that is the only thing that I can begin to think enables Jesus in our text to say that remarkable of all phrases, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." Forgive them as they yell at him. Forgive them as they mock him. Forgive them as they claim that he is not who he says he is. Forgive them, he says. In the fullness of humanity, I do not think I could do that. But because God was present with him, God enabled him to do that. That is the only thing I can think of. Because God always accompanied Jesus, and he accompanies us. And so we read this text and we find that you and I can do the seemingly impossible things on earth. We can forgive those that may do us wrong. We can stretch ourselves into new ways of reaching others. Because notice, it will be Jesus doing the seemingly impossible here that will cause the one who is beside him to say, "When you enter your kingdom, remember me." It will cause the one who was standing keeping guard as if Jesus might fly off the cross at any minute to look up when Jesus dies and say, "Surely he was the Son of God." You see, beloved, the presence of God with us, even when we cannot find God, empowering us to do the seemingly impossible, is not simply about accompanying us, but accompanying us so that it can go and accompany others. Others to seemingly overcome the things that would possess them. Because of this divine accompanist that follows us each and every step of our lives, it means that you and I can let go and fall into grace. Jesus declares, after everything is finished, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." He relinquishes himself at that moment and falls into grace because he knows that God is there. He hasn't been able to find him. He hasn't been able to see them. But somewhere, I think, in the middle of it all, he figures out, yes, he's there. And so he lets go. Beloved, you and I can let go too. I don't mean simply that we can let go at the moment of death. You and I can let go and fall into grace throughout. Because if Jesus can do it there at the moment of the greatest point of his life, at that point, in which he was to fall into the unknown, because no one, except for maybe Lazarus, has probably talked to him about what it was like to die. Maybe the others have that he brought back. I don't know. But there is a difference, right, between hearing somebody else talk about it and experiencing it yourself. And so Jesus can let go and fall into the unknown of grace and know that God is still there. Because he did it in that greatest of unknowns, beloved, it means that you and I, in our very human selves, can trust God to accompany us into all the other unknowns of our life, that we can walk in faith when we cannot see the next step, that we can hold to him as we let go of everything else, because the accompanist is there. But it also means one other thing. Because it occurs to me that as Jesus dies, that the fully human Jesus is there, but the fully human, the fully divine Jesus is there as well. Jesus has told us that not even the sparrow's death is missed by God. But now God, through very experiential wisdom, knows death. I don't understand how it works. I can't begin to describe how God still exists, but yet in that moment in Jesus' life, the fully human and the fully divine taste death. I don't understand how it works, but I do know this, that it makes the sufficiency of Jesus more sufficient, as if it could get any more sufficient, because it means that even at the end of my life, there is still not a thing that I have encountered that Jesus hasn't encountered, that God hasn't encountered, and that therefore I can call out and know that I can be safely carried over with the accompanist. I can't be carried over in my own strength and my own power, but that God in that moment would be all sufficient as he has been for everything else. And so death is not feared, but welcomed as a kind friend. It has no power. It is swallowed up in grace. And so I return to my very first point, that this passage of Scripture, this narrative that we are going to here read to us very shortly, is more than just atonement. It's more than just that which enables me to make heaven my home. It is more than that which just allows me to be brought into right standing before God. It is more than that which just washes away all of my sins. It is the guide to life. Yes, here in the death of Jesus, we have how we can live, how we can walk in faith, how we can hope beyond ourselves. We have the path that can show us how to bring others to saving grace and how to keep ourselves nurtured when God seems so far away. So my question for you this evening is simply this. Do you feel the accompanist? For my whole last 40 years, it occurred to me today as I was pondering this text, that this summer will mark 40 years since I first started taking piano lessons. That's a long time. And part of the job of the accompanist is to be in the background. The accompanist, when someone else is singing, isn't the one that's showing off, it's the singer. But it's very present, it's very necessary. It keeps the time, it keeps track of things. The accompanist is always there leading the path, though it may not be sensed or felt by anyone else. The one who's singing knows it. Do you know the accompanist today? Can you sense the accompanist's work in your life? Do you trust the accompanist? Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. Please note our schedule has been revised as of April 2021. Please join us on Sunday mornings for worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary at 108 Trail 1 in Burlington or on Facebook Live. For more information and resources regarding our church, please visit groveparkchurch.net. And remember, grace abounds.